This is the Copper Crab Podcast.
I am Cheney Crab.
I am Naveen Copperwise.
If you would like to grab Copper Crab merch, you can hit up coppercrab.bigcartel.com. If you would like to buy Entheos merch, that's our band. I do vocals. Naveen plays drums and writes all of the instruments. He's multitasking back there. Then hit up www.entheosstore.com. We send all of the merch, so if you leave a note, we will see it. Today,
you might even get a handwritten note back.
You'll get a handwritten note back from me.
Those are pretty popular notes.
That's true. They're very popular. Today, our guests on the podcast are, I'm going to say, Tommy Reyes and Brandon Busa of I Am. Guys actually go by I Am Texas, or that's just a thing to differentiate?
We normally go by I Am, but just different bands and different like countries, like our Boys in Paleface, like they'll say I Am Texas and stuff like that, just to make sure everyone knows. But yeah, we typically just go by it I Am.
Okay, word. Yeah. Which is
sick band name, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
When I heard that, I was like, fuck, that's sick.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that.
But. Okay.
Well, dude, we heard you guys. You guys were playing with Havoc and Toxic Holocaust, and I can't remember who opened the tour.
Hammerhead.
Okay, Hammerhead. Yeah. So we walked in during your guys' set, and like that was the first time that I'd really heard you guys. I knew about the band and stuff, but I think probably the first time he'd heard you too.
Yeah.
And you guys just fucking killed so hard, and you like. Your riffs are like kind of like beer drinking music. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like definitely. It makes me want to drink beer. And like just watching you guys live that night, you killed so hard that we became instant fans of your band.
Oh yeah.
It was so sick. How's the rest of that tour?
It was insane. Yeah. That one was a really fun tour in general. Just because with the newer sound we had been doing, or like we were talking earlier about how it's kind of like changed over the years, especially for the newer stuff. That was one of the tours where it fit better to like a, you know, pitch our new songs to the crowd, and it was just like everyone was like enjoying it. The crowds were just really responding to that music. So it was the beer drinking metal type of thing. Yeah, just, you know, front row headbangers and all that. Like, it was a great tour all the way around.
Fuck
it was
awesome.
Yeah,
it seemed like it. It was a super sick vibe when you guys went on.
Thank you.
We were like, this has been sick.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, who do you guys take a front of house person with you, or who was mixing it?
I'm not sure who was doing it that tour. It might have just been like the house guy.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, because we just, the last tour we did was Suicide Silence and Chelsea Green. That was one of the first times in a while we actually paid someone to do sound every day. I think that was just the Basement East guy.
He fucking crushed it.
He literally crushed it. I was like there was the perfect amount of like verb. It just, there was a vibe when you guys were on. Like the lighting was great. And your vocalist, what's his name?
Andrew.
Okay, Andrew is like,
he was like sweaty and trying to.
Yeah, he was just killing.
Killing it.
And shouting.
Beast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and shouting Texas and Texas in between.
That's one of his things for sure.
Well, is that like something that was built into the band, the Texas? Like, you're all from Texas, right?
Right.
And what part?
It's all kind of all scattered. Like, me and Andrew are from DFW. Chris and Brandon are Houston. And then Jaden's from San Antonio. So a little bit scattered. But, yeah, I would say the Texas, like, brand of music is just, like, something we just grew up with or were influenced by from being by Texas in that, like, scene. So I don't know. But, like, the stage thing with Andrew, like, it's, you know, just emphasizing where we're from, just having fun with it, you know.
I think it's rad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there are a bunch of sick bands that are coming out of Texas right now. Like a bunch of sick, you guys are kind of like, you've got like this hardcore, but also thrashy and death metal thing. Uh-huh. And there are a bunch of sick, like pure OSDM type bands coming out of Texas.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think, like what's in the water in Texas? What's going on? Such sick bands.
I don't know, just there's like a lot of really sick people to look up to in Dallas or in DFW or Texas in general. You know, obviously like Pantera and stuff, and then
I was wondering if that's like, did it, Pantera,
it kind of sounds like the next wave of Pantera influenced metal, but like with death metal and more thrashy.
There's absolutely
definitely influences coming from everywhere, from like thrash to death metal and stuff. And like the hardcore scenes Texas is just like, that's kind of something we all kind of came up in, even though we started a little bit more like deathcore realm, and then just moved on to like different, you know, exploring different stuff. And I would say like Iron Age and like Power Trip and all those guys, like in Texas, it's like, you're growing up in a scene which is filled with amazing music. So it's, you know, kind of rubs off on you, and you know, inspires you to do other stuff too. So that's like a bit of the inspiration for me personally, but I know we all have like our own strains of that going on. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And do you write a lot of the music?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So you're like an original member. Did you start the band?
No. Andrew's the only original, cause he started it like as a different band, in high school or something. And then, but the first,
he is.
Yeah, technically he is. Yeah, Andrew. That's for sure. But yeah, it was just like some friends of his from high school, and he like renamed the band and all that. And then that first EP, there's like an EP before that one that you were playing earlier that's, I think, 2014. So it's been around for a minute. And I joined like at the, I want to say at the end of 2015. So yeah, I think.
Pretty Andrew's, long time still. I mean, shit.
Yeah, for sure. Years.
Well, I was kind of wondering about the early EP thing because I was looking around, you know, I was doing a little research on you guys, and the internet says that you've been a band for like, it was a really long time, maybe 15 years.
I think if you count like the first band, the different name that Andrew started it under, that could be the case.
2010, 2011.
Something like that, yeah.
Damn, that's cool. So it all became of like something he was doing in high school, which is, it's kind of rare that bands like, evolve out of the high school thing and keep going for that long of a time.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, it's been really cool since they got me. I think I was a senior in high school when we started like hanging out and like talking about jamming together and stuff. So it was like kind of right after that I started doing it with them. And then, yeah, we got Brandon not too long. Or no, actually, it's been a while. Yeah, like 4 years. Yeah.
A word. So
super time flies though, man.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll say shit like that. I'm like, you know, the other day when we were changed, like that was 10 years ago.
Insane, actually. Yeah.
So did you just know them and then you,
I knew them in high school. I mean, we're like 3 hours away from each other, but Jay from Unity used to be in the band and I knew him on Twitter and he's like, yo, check my band out. And it was I Am. And this is like 2011. Started playing shows with them with my local bands. 2015. Met Andrew and just became friends with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys have like been touring the whole time you've been in the band. When did you like really start touring full time?
I think the full time touring thing was probably 2017 or 2016, 2017. It was like my first tour back from school because I went to college for a year and then came back when we got like an offer for KublaCon and like Left Behind, just like a bunch of friends. I was like, I'm not going to miss that, you know? So I think ever since then, it's been pretty nonstop until like the pandemic and everything. And like right before the pandemic was when we got Brandon. We just like hit him up. So we needed somebody to play drums in Europe. Hit him up like the day before almost. No, the day before we were leaving. We're like, can you do that? And he just said,
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like 1 day
of touring. Yeah.
All right.
Learned like all the songs, or like, I guess he already knew a bit of them, but we had like no official practice before going to Europe for that tour with Thyart, Carnifex.
That's a huge tour, too.
I remember step that in tour. On.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. We were just like, we did a really quiet practice in at Chris's house, just like unplugged and just like, all right, yeah, let's go do Europe together.
Were you super nervous to play that first show?
A little bit, but luckily I played a bunch of shows size. Not really.
I just like, I don't know. I have like a reoccurring nightmare that I have to do that. That they're like, you need to get up there. And I'm like, I don't know the fucking songs. Like, it just always happens. Like, I've had it actually recently.
It was scary, but after, you know, show two, it was fine.
Yeah. And did you kind of know the music already? Like, were you familiar? Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're familiar with the music, it's a little different.
Yeah. Like, I had a couple weeks because Chris hit me up about the Spite tour that was leading into that Europe into Spite.
Okay.
So kind of had some practice time, but not with the band.
Yeah. No, it was sick though. Like,
a little scary.
First show, even like, we were all kind of looking back, like, damn, that was sick. Like, he nailed it. Like,
that's
awesome. Yeah.
That's a great feeling.
Oh, yeah. Like, for sure.
We did it. Like,
exactly.
You know, even though it might not be the best circumstance to play a show and it goes well. Yeah. That's sick.
And it's like with band members, there is kind of like when you know type vibe. So if the right person steps in, then they're going to kill it from the beginning. And there's just, even if they don't like totally kill it, there's a feeling there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like there's a lot of like kind of intricate stuff on the second record. And then just when he played it for the first time, it was like, oh, like, you know, no trash to the other dude. But it was just like damn, I didn't know it could sound that good. Or like, that's how it's supposed to, you know, like sort of deal. Like, so that was really cool to hit it off with Brandon from day one of that tour. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing.
How was it touring? Did you guys just like share a bus with Carnifex and Dire's Murder?
Everybody was on the same bus except for Dire had their own bus.
Okay.
And but yeah, it was fun. Like, you know, mayhem, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah,
it's
just like, yeah, Europe gets really wild, dude. Oh, yeah, because it's everyone in a bus together, and no one has to drive ever.
Exactly. So everyone's hanging out,
partying, pushing it to the limit.
Yeah.
To the point that sometimes there was a tour that we were on, and it was like we brought some outsiders into the bus, and we were all partying so hard that the outsiders were like, "Dude, I can't.
Yeah,
I gotta
go. Like, we gotta go. This is weird."
Because we were just like going wild on a Tuesday in the UK. Yeah, totally. You know, right. It's just like
just bizarre behavior.
Yeah,
you gotta do it though. You got to.
Yeah, no, totally. That's like definitely some of my like best memories. It's just being a psychopath in Europe.
It's true. It's true for 30
years. Every band getting a free bottle of Jack.
That's
well, we made a mistake. We were like, give us whiskey. Or no, we said, give us whiskey. And then in a lot of places in Europe, whiskey is scotch. And so like every night we'd get a bottle of, and I don't like that. I don't even want to drink that.
That was gross.
So there was many nights where I was like, I would literally trade this for like one beer. I don't want this at all.
Dude, we were trying to barter with the other bands. Like, please, we'll give you some of this shitty scotch for some of your
vodka. It might have been good to somebody who likes scotch.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, next time we go, we need to say like Jack Daniels or like American bourbon or whatever. You know what I mean?
We had just like put Jack on the rider, just like not really as a joke, but we didn't really think we were gonna get it, and it was just like every day, just like wow, that's
I know you're
the
like,
bottles were piling up in the bus.
Was that your guys' first time there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were this is insane.
Yeah, we were just the green rooms, and the hospitality in Europe is crazy, so we were freaking out. Like
it's the best.
Yeah.
Well, so what's your favorite spot to play in Europe as far as the hospitality goes?
Tilburg, Netherlands strikes
me. I was just gonna say, dude. Yeah, straight up.
100%.
Yeah, just like had our own green room, and it was super nice, like the showers and all that. Just like that one blew me away. It was like a huge ass room, and the venue was crazy too. Like I think the standing room was like 1400 capacity or something like that, which we didn't expect that at all. So
is that place that we went to with Archspire, or is that
I think
else?
So it's I like mean it's somewhere in another
Yeah.
You have to pull into like the garage area in the back.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's it.
Dude, that place is so sick.
It's baller.
Yeah, they have the craziest food and everything.
Well, there was a huge dance party going on next door during the day at the last show that we played there, which I think was the first time we've played there. But
that was like the second day of the tour.
Yeah, it was the second day of the tour. And I went in and just like partied during the day and danced and shit and then went and played a show. It was sick. Which is really the thing in Europe, you know? Definitely. Can like dance parties coexist 100% with metal. So there'll be a party after the show or during the show in some cases.
Yeah, I think in Munich, like the venue we played turned into like a reggae club that just like dance party kind of thing going on after we all kind of hung out. It was a sold out show, so we were all like riding the vibes and just dance. Like I don't dance at all.
Yeah,
we're
of
just,
course.
Like,
yeah.
Just getting it. Like in Germany, so yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, dude, you had a bottle of Jack for
exactly,
free.
Yeah.
You're dancing at that point.
Yeah,
damn. My man was killing it, dude.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, I know. Did you guys go last year?
We haven't been back since. Okay. I did a fill-in gig with Kublai Khan recently, and that was so I got to go like have fun and you know no responsibilities, just like play the set and you know chill and all that, so that was a lot of fun. But we haven't been back. Hasn't been back in a since that tour, I think. But
okay
word. Yeah, I'm excited.
I thought you did a tour with Suffocation, is that right?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
I was confused.
No.
Yeah, we'd like to, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude, everyone wants to tour with Suffo, man. Yeah, we love them so much. We drove, because from here to Kentucky, it's like a three-hour drive, or Louisville. So we drove and saw them with Surreption. I don't know if you're familiar. An atheist. So.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, it was so dope. And we partied very hard on the Suffo bus.
We had a hotel, like, we walked to the show from the hotel.
Oh, nice.
So me and Chaney were ripping.
I bought like $200 worth of Suffocation merch that night and just got drunk and left it all on their bus.
Oh,
I know.
Damn.
Not me, though. I bought a shirt and I have it.
No, they didn't send it to me.
I texted the drummer and I was like, yo, Chaney left all of her merch. And he was like, that sucks, man. And I'm just like, Fuck.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like, can you like send it though?
I know. but you got, so you're how far into this tour now that you're doing?
Day just 4.
Okay. Yeah, right. Day 4.
Just the beginning.
That's cool, dude. Darkest Hour rules. Yeah. Is there anyone else on the tour with you guys?
There's the first band, Somnary, which is really sick. They're their tones are insane. Like the, I don't know how you describe them, but they're kind of unique.
Mastodon-ish.
Oh, sick. Oh, really? It's right up my alley. Sick.
Okay.
Yeah, and then our friends in Mouth for War are next, and they're just like groovy, just ass beating like metalcore, and they're really good friends of ours. So it's been a fun one so far.
Dude, awesome! I'm excited to see all of the bands tonight. Oh, yeah. It's gonna be also that venue you guys are playing. I don't know if you've ever played there before.
No, it's the first time for us.
It's pretty sick. Exiting. It's have you ever played the end?
Yeah.
So you notice that it's like right across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sick. Yeah, I'm stoked to play there.
Dude,
yeah.
It's dope. It's like an upgrade from the end. The end is a great venue, but it's like it's a bar venue, you know.
I just went in there and peed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was waiting for them, and I really had to pee.
Yeah.
And there was a band, like, loading in to the end, and I was like, fuck it, dude. And I just went in there, and they were like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, man, how you doing? And just peed, and then
just
left.
Like you fit the bill to walk in.
Yeah, I was like, I'm on tour.
Dude, just flash, like, something at them and just act like you know what you're doing.
You pulled up in a van, too, so.
Yeah, totally.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I was kind of, I was a little bit worried that they'd be like, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's disrespect, you know? But I don't think nobody noticed.
you've done your time. You can piss in venues.
Yeah, and I'd be like, hey, I come here all the time. Like, I'm a patron of this venue. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Are you guys, are you on tour in a van right now?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's nice. It's got like our buddy Gary has like a van rental business. So he just built, welded some bunks together. And
oh, fuck yeah.
Just kind of decked it out for sleeping and everything. So it's, it's comfortable.
Well, what are we talking? How many bunks do you have in there?
We have 4, and then there's room under for like, with the bags and everything, just one person under there, and then the bench. So there's like, 6 sleeping spots.
Yep.
Love that.
That's the way to go, dude.
Yeah.
Sure. It's actually a really good time of year to tour. It's like not too hot yet
or
too cold. It's just kind of.
I'm just worried about getting up to Canada and just going to be.
Yeah, it could be
freezing
fucked.
My ass off.
Yeah,
that's
it could be
true.
Fucked.
We went up, I guess it was about this time 2 years ago. We were driving up through. We had to go through Montana and Seattle to get to Vancouver, and we just got stuck in a really fucking bad snowstorm.
No, it was freaking April.
Yeah, it was April.
It was
so
April.
So it's soon.
And we were in a brutal snowstorm.
Damn.
And I was like, I was expecting the tour to be hot. You know, like I had like my shorts and shit. I was like, because here it was already hot. It was great. And then, we got totally stranded for like 2 days. We missed the first show.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah, I think like we had swore off doing winter tours or tours like in February, and then like we've done 2 of them since. So it's just like, we just keep, we're in for the thrill, I guess.
Yeah,
I know. I am the same way. It's like I don't really want to do anything in December, January, February area, but if the right tour comes along, then you can't like leave it on the table.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah. It's kind of just worked out for us that we just haven't had to do winter tours.
Yeah,
as of recent.
Yeah, we just did a couple of like Lorna Shore's Christmas shows, and we had to drive from here to Jersey, and it was kind of getting fucked up.
That was
but
a little
wasn't too bad.
A little sketchy, for sure.
But it was sick. God, I just had something. So, speaking, I was listening to your EP, the first EP, which I understand because our first EP sounds nothing like what we sound like now either.
Right.
But yeah, you guys kind of went from like it was way more deathcore adjacent, I would say, to what you are now.
Right.
So is that like a conscious thing or was that just you're saying that you like got into the band when you were in high school or right out of high school. So what was.
Yeah, I think, the guy that wrote that EP along with, the guys in the band now, Andrew and all like they were, or is a different guy named Ryan. He had some sick riffs, by the way. He was dope. And then he wrote a song or two on the newer record or on the one after that, the Purple Flower Life Through Torment. And once he was out of the band, like I started like writing a bit more, and I joined as like a high schooler and just kind of writing what I thought they were already doing or like what I thought their bands would like and stuff. And then it just kind of evolved into, what do I want to do? And then just feeding off of it, everybody's like feedback on riffs and stuff like that, just kind of turn into something else. And yeah, so it's just been a little bit more of just coming into ourselves a little bit more, and then just feeling out what you want to do and exploring things and seeing what lands right.
Totally. I think that's one of the coolest things about seeing bands grow over time, is seeing the band that they become. Because there are so many bands that don't really make it past like their first record, so you never really get to experience what the band could do.
Yeah.
Even if the first thing they put out is super sick, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's cool that you guys have stayed together for this long to continue to make music and see like where the path is taking you.
Definitely. And then just like, I kind of like that we had taken a bit of time between Hard to Kill and Eternal Steel, because like you kind of grow up a bit and like learn, you know, just more experience with songwriting. And then, you know, from that to what we're going to be doing next, yeah, just kind of figure out like, zoom out and take a look and like think, what are we good at? Like what sounds the best for us? Like, what do we want to like come off as, and like all that sort of stuff. So it's cool to like get perspective and take time with it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's huge. Kind of like identify the strong points of your own music.
Exactly.
But that like takes a really long time. Uh-huh. And even for us, even though like we'd been in other bands for a long time, like it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're just now getting into like what we sound like.
Yeah. You know
what
I mean? For sure.
Like, okay. Totally. What makes us our thing?
Uh-huh.
So, but it's like, I feel like that's such a like cool point to hit. And so many people just like give up before they get to that sick point of like,
yeah,
really putting it together.
Yeah. I think like honing in on our newer stuff, or what we're going to put out next, is, you know, going to be more of driving that ball home for us. Just cause like, you know, we'd kind of gotten a little experimental with the last album and putting together like 11 songs or 10 songs. It's just like, you know, it gives you a bit of room to be a little bit, maybe too much experimental. So like, we're kind of like kind of drive things down the middle and like with that lane of, you know, what do we want to be? And just, yeah, really bring it home. So
that's kind of like us, dude.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, dude, like, it's very easy to get too experimental on it. I couldn't relate to anything more than what you just said. Like, totally. It's easy to just, you know, when you're doing something for yourself, it's like, dude, I'm going to show them everything I got. Like, throw it all in there. And sometimes it just will take, it'll go a little too far. And while you might like it, it might lose people. You don't always think about that stuff.
Uh-huh. There's even like some riffs or just like cast aside for like a different like project and stuff like that. Just cause like one band shouldn't be everything, you know, it's gotta fit. It's gotta fit the lane and like fit what you want to do and want to come off as and stuff like that. So
it's hard to get there though, man. I'll tell you.
Yeah. It's hard to turn down like some of your favorite riffs and stuff like that, but it's worth it to, you know, carve out a sound and everything. So.
Yeah. I think when you see it through, like what you're talking about, if you actually see it through from like the start to the end with something in mind, it's like, it's a different sort of satisfaction than like just, I'm going to put every single thing that I write into it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we like just did that with music that's not even out yet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
who do you guys track with?
We track both last albums with Randy from Graphic Nature. Like, he's done like the Orthodox records and Kubla Khan and a bunch of others.
They're from here. Some of them are from here.
Yeah, Orthodox. For sure. Are those you guys know those guys?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We've cool. Yeah, we've known each other for a real long the first show I played with IM right out of high school was in Florida, and it was with Orthodox, like their older lineup and stuff, and we've just like been friends ever since and all that.
Oh, awesome.
We did quite a few tours together, I feel like.
Played with them yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, they were on that show. Just a big old family reunion, so.
That's super awesome. Who headlined that festival that you played yesterday?
Darkest Hour.
Yeah. Sick. Were there any other bands I would know on it?
Capra, Escuela Grind.
Oh, sick.
Your Spirit Dies.
Are they a hardcore band?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have heard that band for
sure. Great.
Sick.
Gutter. They're a local band. They're newer.
That's a pretty sick name,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
I want a Gutter shirt.
Me too. I was late. That was about it.
Where was that?
Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Savannah's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a brewery? So.
Oh,
some
damn.
Free beers. Free
All right.
Yeah. Oh, that's why you guys were talking about the free beer when you came in.
Yeah.
I got it now.
They hooked it up. And then there's this, I'm vegan, like kind of a pain in the ass for everybody else, but yeah, there was this like spot around the corner that was just a small kind of house thing, and it had some of the best vegan soul food I've ever had. So I was,
yeah. A lot of good vegan spots here.
That's true, but vegan soul food, that shit hits, dude. Oh, yeah, hits. Vegan soul food and vegan Jamaican are both like so good. Yeah, so you're the only vegan in your entire band?
Yeah.
Dude, that's probably kind of hard, because it's easy when people are in it together. At least there are two of you.
Right.
But
I'll go on a walk, you know, get some food somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No one else comes with you?
Nah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then. But we all bond over coffee, and so that's you know, we'll all go get some coffee somewhere and all that. But yeah, I mean, they're like super cool about it and like accommodating and stuff. Like, we always hit Taco Bell, I feel like, pretty
Taco Bell rips for a vegan.
Yeah,
for sure.
And with Chipotle, it's like with that stuff being so prevalent, it's way easier to be vegan on the road than it used to be.
Yeah, no, the first tour I did, that was when I first like went vegan. It was just like French fries every night. You just going vegan and getting fat, you know.
Naveen definitely knows that life. You're a vegan, when in Animosity.
Yeah, like we would school. It was really shitty. It sucked.
Like
better days now. So.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I'm not still like vegan. I kind of am on and off with it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call that, but yeah. Now, like, I did the last tour we did vegan, and it's pretty. That's pretty easy for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean,
not too bad.
Yeah, go to Chipotle. That's
Burger King.
I'm like, if I'm doing vegan, I'm like, can we go to Chipotle, please? That's my best option. Unless there's like some great spot, but there was like a really good vegan spot across the street from the venue that we played in Florida. And it's kind of fun to find spots.
Yeah.
And we had, never mind. On the short run, we had another vegan dude with us.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun. But
That is kind of the cool thing about being vegan. I'm not vegan right now, for the record, either, but I have been before. And it's like seeking out food.
The camaraderie.
Yeah, dude. There were days where we would drive, like, we lived in Santa Cruz, and we would drive from Santa Cruz to San Francisco just to go to the sick vegan spot.
Let's just go. Fuck it.
It's like you can go on missions to find sick food.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that I'm doing on drives, is like looking up the next spot to go to, or kind of like routing coffee, food, venue, like all in. Yeah. Trying to make it a good time.
Yeah, that's smart. You got to do the coffee food vent. Do you like stop at Starbucks or better coffee than that?
Yeah, no, I'm a little bit of a snob with that. I think everybody else is. No, well, me and Andrew are kind of wanting better coffee, but so I'll find like some nice spots and make everyone go there. So.
Where'd you go in Nashville?
We did Red Bicycle.
I've never even heard of it.
It was, I mean, I don't think it's like in central Nashville. It's just like on the way from the Planet Fitness we were just at.
Oh, you guys are on the Planet Fitness line?
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah, definitely.
So sick.
Our bass player just like crushed out the drive like in an all-nighter. And so we actually had time to like work out and stuff. But
damn, you
know, that guy goes hard. Yeah.
Took one for the team, dude.
He's like consistently down. He just turned 21, actually. And so he's like got all this energy. Like,
yeah, he doesn't need to sleep.
He's a young man.
Right, yeah. He's always in a great mood and just like,
wow.
Yeah, he's a good mood booster for the whole
crew. He hasn't been destroyed by life.
Yeah, his dreams haven't been crushed yet.
How long has he been in the band?
I want to say
a little over a year.
You know what? I think now, thinking of you guys on stage, I'm pretty sure in my mind I can pinpoint the 21-year-old kid. Because he just, I don't know, he had something to him. He was like, he seemed like he was just
smiling
smiling a lot.
Yeah, that's him. That's for sure. He's always, he plays like guitar better than probably everyone I've met or something. But he's just like insane. So he's just always ripping solos in the green room, like smiling his ass off. Just, that's him in a nutshell.
That's good. That's what you want around.
Yeah, you kind of need someone like that on tour.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that person's important.
Yeah.
To keep like the momentum going, because tour can get dark.
Yeah.
You don't want whiners on tour, dude.
Yeah. No, I have whiners. Like narcolepsy, so I'm just, you know, it takes me forever to get up and like, not always waking up like super bright, I guess, or super energetic. And I just see him just like, I don't know, doing some like dumb joke or something. He's just like always in a great mood. So it's, that helps, especially over a whole month on tour. Like,
totally.
To have that morale boost going on. And he's rad for that.
That's awesome.
What's so you guys have a good, no, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You guys have like a good crew, feeling good about your team.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's awesome.
Definitely the strongest lineup we've had. So
that's the best feeling, man. Yeah, when everyone's just like, yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah, all on the same page about everything. So it's.
I was gonna ask that. Do you? Is it easy for you guys? Do you all write together now? Is that?
We're like gonna be collabing more, but originally like that last record was like kind of done during quarantine, so I was like kind of doing a lot by myself, and then we had met up like a few times, but there's only so much you can do in like a couple of weekends together as opposed to like working on it every day. And then the record before that out of like necessity had to do a lot of it, but I think we're like planning to like jam and just like all get in a room and stuff and see what sticks and then take from that, you know, into a session and like write with it on like a DAW or whatever. But we want to do a lot more collaborating and stuff, so that's going to be the move like going forward. But so that'll be fun.
You're gonna record with the same guy?
We're actually thinking about tracking in Texas and sending it off to somebody.
Okay,
that's sick.
But yeah, just like convenience sake, and we're just gonna do I think a song or two, just like push stuff out while we write more.
Smart.
So yeah,
I think that's kind of like the way that the industry is moving, you know?
Definitely.
It's like if you want to stay relevant now, people, their attention span is so short, you know. This is like the conversation going on. People have such a short attention span. TikTok is taking over, and like they're only paying attention to like hype TikTok parts, you know. And it's like, how do you feed into that? Like you have to like get playlisted on Spotify, and in order to do that, you have to constantly be putting stuff out.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, because I'm like kind of a long song guy. Like, I like to. One of the last songs we did with the feature with Corpse Grinder, that Infernal Panther song, is like I wanted to wait till like minute 4.5 to give them like the breakdown or like the part they want to mosh to and stuff. But yeah, nowadays it's very much like they want that reward like in the first, you know, 30 seconds of the song and stuff. So it's like, I think frequently putting out music or singles as opposed to like, you know, the full lengths every couple of years. That's like what we're kind of trying to do. Just, because you put a lot of work into 10 or 11 songs, and then, you know, people are going to listen to like the first half of it and maybe not get to like the deeper cut tracks so it's like, or you could just do it in two EPs or something and people will listen to all of them. So
totally.
We're kind of like trying to figure out a plan that feels comfortable for us and all that. So
yeah,
that's what everyone's doing.
Totally. I mean, it kind of kills me, the making a full album, and the singles are what gets pushed, you know.
Yeah.
That's what has the videos, that's what the label is pushing to playlisting and all of that. And then the other songs on the album have like hundreds of thousands less plays than those ones, and it feels shitty because you like every song a lot. You know if you're putting stuff on an album, you like that what you made.
Yeah, it's been filtered through lots of processes of like cutting stuff out and all that, so it's definitely a bummer to not, it just like makes us want to do it differently, you know. Mm-hmm. Just not always rely on the full LP thing, just be more creative with putting out stuff.
Totally.
You were saying like when it's like reversed now, like when the album comes out, that's like the end of it. Where it used to be, the album comes out and that's like the beginning of the album. You
exactly.
know what I mean? Because it's like you do all these singles leading up to it, and then when it comes out, it's like, all right, that's over with. We need to start on the next freaking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Chaney was telling me the other day.
Definitely.
Chaney's wisdom.
That actually wasn't me. I think that was Nick.
Oh, I thought you were telling me
no,
that.
No, Nick.
Oh,
Nick said
off.
That on the podcast like 2 weeks ago. But yeah, we'll keep saying that it was a part of my wisdom. Thank you.
Yeah, I just attribute those types of wisdom to you, Chaney.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it's true. It's like, you know, that's the way that cycles work now. And it does suck, but it's also like, I don't know if you guys were like old enough to recognize when this happened, but like 10 or 13 years ago, there were some people who started doing like playthroughs, and other people thought it was really whack. And the people who did playthroughs are the people who you know now. And the people who thought it was whack are people who you probably don't really know their name.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have that happen. And now I feel like, although the singles thing sucks, and I mean, it doesn't suck. It's cool. It's a different way to do it. But, you know, we do like long form things. But it's just like you kind of have to adapt as an artist. You have to adapt and figure out what is the best possible way for people to hear my music?
Yeah.
How can I make this happen?
Definitely. Like, I've always put off like playthroughs and tabs. Like, we still don't have any like tabs or anything like that. But yeah, I'd kind of like seen it as like, oh, I don't really want to do that. But then I ended up starting to do playthroughs, and it just like makes sense. You know, there's so much going on, so many bands, like, you know, you got to figure out some way to get some visibility go, or, you know, break through the clutter of everything. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you can make it your own thing. You know, you don't have to definitely. Do it. There's no rules to it.
Yeah.
So I just look at it like it's another way to kind of do artistic expression or whatever. Yeah, you know, same for sure. With making an album, you know, obviously I like writing music a lot more than doing that other stuff, but it's become something that's pretty like fun for us to do. Totally. And it's like, I'd say that's the number one thing that's like helped our band grow is just putting out videos consistently.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Especially for Cheney.
Yeah, because like people want to see that stuff too. Like they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. For sure. Yeah, I think Brandon just recently did one that we're going to be putting out pretty soon.
The two videos, playthroughs, video, new audio.
Hell yeah.
For two songs on Eternal Steel.
Dude, awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So did you film them at your house or did you go somewhere to do it?
I went to a studio with Dan Staley doing camera and Victor Brewer doing the audio. So
okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. See,
that's the thing for drummers, dude. It's so hard if you don't have like a soundproof room, which most people do not have that. It costs more money to, you know, you have to pay to go and do that to get the sounding sick, because drums, it's like there's so much there.
Oh yeah.
You can't just like plug it into your Axe FX and or whatever and rip, you know?
I know. I used to think that like when I would see like guitar players, I'm like, dude, if I was just playing guitar, I'd make a video every day. And then now that I have my shit set up all the time, it's basically as easy as making a guitar video. Still don't do it.
Yeah.
Not lazy.
it's a time commitment, like making a good playthrough.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Editing and stuff like that. Or it's like I did the one I just did like by myself or whatever, it would have been so much easier and like probably a lot better if I just had an actual video guy do it like we're doing with Brandon.
Yeah,
but yeah, it can take a little bit of time.
Totally. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like a thing about it that frustrates me, you know?
I'm
like,
yeah,
I gotta fucking do this whole thing myself. Like,
dude,
I'm like, I just want to play drums and I'm like focusing a camera or something stupid like that.
I get neurotic with it. Like if there's one thing that's like slightly off, I'm just like scrapping the whole thing and spend like a whole day just like trying to, you know, like if I'm going to put it out there, like make sure it's sick.
Yeah.
That's just like a one take, dude. Just one take and he's already there with it.
So. Naveen is like that too. I'm like that now, but it's like, it's only something that you can, you like the video thing, you got to keep doing it. Like the being, what am I thinking of? Repetitiveness of it. It's like, if you keep doing it, then it starts to feel more natural and then you can like integrate it into your life more.
Yeah, for sure.
So
like, instead of like blocking off entire days and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like, for sure. Like, I just need like a kind of like schedule myself out with it.
Dude, we're going through that right now where we're like, we really need to make a schedule for ourselves.
Seriously, I know. Because I'll be like, I look at my Instagram and I'm like, fuck, I haven't posted in like 10 days. And I'm like, I have the shit set up. Like, I could literally just go in there and, like, hit record.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'd have to get the camera out and, like, you know, just... I feel like however easy you make it for yourself, you just become a little bit lazier, you know?
So,
yeah, we're trying to combat that, for sure.
That's true.
Feel that.
You know, it's annoying. But, I mean, to do her videos is, like, pretty easy.
That's true.
And she just, like, rolls in there and does it real quick.
Yeah.
And you have the in-house
years of practice
audio guy.
That point. No, I'm just kidding. But so when you guys were like before the band, you listened, you went to shows. What kind of stuff was inspiring you to like become musicians?
Rush was my first concert.
Oh damn!
4/20/2008.
Did your parents take you to that, or you went by yourself?
Yeah, my uncle and my dad.
Dude, that's a sick uncle and dad.
They're into that kind of music.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my uncle saw Rush every time from like Roll the Bones to the Farewell Tour.
So. That's a very uncle thing to be
into.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
Naveen's uncle probably has also seen all of that.
He's like the one before that. Like yes.
Yeah.
He's a little different, like earlier generation, but yeah.
Does your uncle have all the T-shirts?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Probably, yeah. He might.
There are so many uncles out there with the sickest, like, most expensive T-shirt collection, and they don't even realize it.
That's what we were telling my uncle.
Yeah,
he was like, I've been to every Yes, like, telling us all these crazy shows, and he's like, I bought a shirt at every show. And I'm like, dude, where are they? That's, like, thousands of dollars, bro.
Want to make money off your experiences, man.
Totally. No, I just want them. I just want them just to have. That's like heirloom shit.
That's true.
Bill Bruford, dude.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. He's got a bunch of Yes shirts from the 70s like concert that he went to. And like, he was telling us about it. He has a bunch of crazy
shit. Yeah, he has a bunch of shit. All right, so it was Rush, and then...
Yeah, my dad plays drums, too, so I was going to his gigs, country gigs, top 40 country stuff. Like,
there we go.
Late 90s, from, I don't know, until I was like 16, 17.
That's super sick. So he was in a cover band, like...
Yeah, just like hired gun stuff.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, so going all over Texas with him, opening for just random acts. Like, he would open up for Asleep at the Wheel, yeah, shit that no one knows about. But
yeah, I know.
So you were like, all right, I want to do that.
Yeah, going to gigs with him, and then I saw Devil Wears Prada, like eighth grade or something.
You're like, Dad, I five.
Yeah, I'm gonna go do that. Yeah.
What did he think about Devil Wears Prada? Your dad. He was like, "Damn it, man."
Didn't mind it, but yeah, he was showing me like Iron Maiden, Pantera, and all this like country all stuff, and then my mom showing me In Excess, Tears for Fears, Depeche Mode, like all the good 80s shit.
Yeah, fuck
yeah. Yeah.
Jealous. I back it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best. So was there like a drum kit set up at your house all the time?
Yeah, like,
okay.
I don't know, as long as I can remember, so.
Hell yeah. Yeah, same with me.
I don't think they wanted me to start playing. It was just natural. I saw all drums and just wanted to set them up and stuff.
No, they're
playing.
Like, no, don't do it.
Yeah, luckily they're super supportive and let me play all morning, all day, all night, pretty much. So we also lived in the middle of nowhere. So
Did you grow up on a farm?
Yes, but we weren't farmers. Just like where we lived at, it used to be an old tobacco farm or something like that.
Oh, so damn. Okay,
that's really cool.
Yeah, got to play, you know, till 10 p.m. and parents weren't home till 4 a.m. or however long I wanted.
All right, what's up with that dad's drum set? Let's talk about it.
Premier kit.
Okay.
Premier 90s kit. Also had a Tama Crestar kit.
I don't even know what that is.
The bow tie lugs.
Got it.
From the mid late 80s.
You still have it?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
That's sick.
That is sick.
Have that and acquired a Grand Star Custom, like cherry pink bass drum. So, yeah, just like huge toms.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Texas toms.
Yeah, huge.
I love it. A
bunch of vintage stuff, too.
That's awesome, man. So he had all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had Rototoms, fucking Pace signature.
Fuck
cells.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, Pearl Piccolo snare, so.
Oh, dude. I know. I've been like.
Wish I still had.
I know. I've been like on Reverb. I'm like trying to get like a 90s Piccolo, like a Tama one.
Yeah.
I'm just. They have one actually at the studio that we recorded drums at on our last album. And it's a Tama Piccolo from the 90s. And I was like, dude, you have to sell me this. And they didn't want to do it. And I'm like, dude, no one's going to want this. Give me this thing. What's wrong with you? So, they pop up on Reverb every once in a while.
Yeah, I see them a lot.
Yeah,
I got a free floater, Pearl, that I need to fix up.
That's legit. Yeah, definitely hold on to that.
Do you have a bunch of gear?
Yeah, I have a 1980s Tama Superstar kit, concert toms. It goes from 8 to 18.
That's so sick.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I love that.
Orange kick. The Crestar kit. Early 2000s Tama Superstar Classic kit.
Yep.
I didn't even know about these.
Yeah, it's insane.
I had that, I think. The Superstar one.
No, it's Star Classic.
Oh, Star Classic.
Yeah.
Never
mind. Performer. And then the kit I have with I Am, it's a Tama Star Classic Maple or Birch, just wrapped in diamond plate that I found on Marketplace.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so on brand.
Yeah, the record was coming out in a few months and had people tag me in it. They're like, you have to get this kit.
Yeah. Yeah. How much was it?
$1,600.
Okay.
But yeah, 8, 10, 12, 16, 18, two 22-inch kicks.
Okay, that's a deal.
Yeah.
That's sick as fuck. Is
that what you're playing live?
Yeah.
Damn.
Not the whole kit, though.
Okay.
Just 10, 12, 16, 22-inch kick.
Just one kick?
Yeah.
So did you say it has a 24 and a 22?
Just two 22s.
Two 22s. Fuck.
Depending on the stage size, a little
Oh my God. I need to see this.
I've basically I've forced Naveen to go Double Kick. Because I'm like, dude, it's not, we're not going to be a sick metal band until there are two kicks on stage with us.
Dude. She's like, dude, the jazz kit thing.
Yeah, it's not
whack. It's not working.
It is. What do you think about it?
Love it. I would do it every night. Well, just depending on the stage size. So
you guys are kind of you're a double kick band, man. Yeah. It's a two bass drum band, man.
Plenty of that, yeah. And more coming for sure.
That's such a cool kit, man.
That is really
I'll
cool.
Do triple bass drum one day. Damn.
Is that what Terry Bozzio does? Terry Bozzio have three kicks on that?
300 kicks.
Yeah, dude, who knows?
That kit, knows we've seen it in real life. We went to DW and saw Terry Bozzio's kit, the crazy setup thing in real life. Naveen sat on it. There's a sign that says, do not touch Terry's kit on the front. But
I had nepotism working for me. I had his kid there.
Yeah, his kid, Rainin, is a really good friend of ours and our old roommate. So we went, with Rainin. And that kit in real life, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, the whole house, I guess. Holy shit.
I know, it's got its own room. Like at the DW warehouse, there's just this office and you open the door and it's just like his drum set.
Yeah.
And he just like goes in there and I don't know.
It's his rehearsal spot?
Yeah, he just goes in there and practices and I guess hangs out or develops products with DW and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's pretty gnarly. I wouldn't want it.
No.
Because I played it and I was like, what the fuck is all this shit?
Well, it is cool that there are all those note values, though. That is a cool part of his kit, is that he can literally crazy melodic compositions on that thing. But
I get that, but at the same time, I'm just like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to rip the beats.
You know, it's like Rototom kit from back in the day.
Those are sick.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been seeing on YouTube some other company makes a Rototom kit now, and they're pretty cheap.
Okay.
Like, I've seen, stuff pops up on my YouTube, drum people who do reviews and shit like that. They're like testing out the Rototom kit, and
I just like Remo who made them back in the day, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. But there's a new one, and I'm like, fuck, kind of want it, dude.
Yeah,
kind of want that. That'd be so
we've
sick.
Been talking about Rototoms or Octobons for 4 years. So
next. Yeah, so we got Tama makes. They're not Octobons, but they're short Octobons basically. So it's like I can't remember what they call it, like a Timbali rocker or something like that.
You used them on the JFAC record.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask that.
Okay. Yeah. So the singer, Johnny, he would just always text me and be like, dude, Octobons. Like,
oh.
And then for like years. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, Octobons, cool. And then I played on the record and he's like, dude, you got to do Octobons on a part. And then it was actually pretty cool. And so I got some to do it on our last little EP thing. And it just didn't work anywhere. It just seemed weird, except for one fill. There's one fill where I just do a straight Neil Peart on every tom.
On JFAC?
No, on ours. Yeah, and it turned out sick. But just for that one fill, everything else just sounded kind of contrived.
It is cool. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, definitely. I'll show you the ones I have. They're just these little. I don't know. It's kind of like an Octobon, but just not deep.
Yeah, D-Drum makes cheaper version of them, probably.
Yeah, we had some actual Octobons on the JFAC record. I don't remember who made them, though.
Oh, you don't know who? The brand.
Don't remember
Tama.
I don't think it was. Yeah, there we go.
Wink, wink.
I don't know if it's Octobons or Rotos or whatever, but on this Cavalier Conspiracy record, there's just so many fills with those in it. I was like, that's kept showing brand. I was like, we need to do that.
Yeah.
At some point, it'll be cool.
Totally. Yeah, I get that.
That's super sick. So how did you start? What kind of shit got you into metal?
I don't have any cool stories or my parents didn't
cool dad or uncle going on.
My parents are cool. Just they don't know anything about or rock or heavy metal or nothing. So I just kind of got into it backwards, and which is why I listen to what I listen to now and everything. But it started me and my brothers would just try to find the hardest rock we could at the, Christian bookstore or whatever, and then like it would piss my dad off a little bit. But
actually, we got a resident Christian metalhead here, actually. But no Mike.
That's what's up.
Harrison has no Mike.
Did you grow up like super Christian?
We went to all private schools and stuff like that, and yeah, like church every Sunday and all that. But yeah, just like under oath was like too heavy for them and stuff. And like me and my brothers were like, no, it's not. It's cool. And then so we just like started jamming together. So I went from like that. I guess I don't know what you'd call them, but that. And then you know everything else at the Christian bookstore was just like you know August Burns Red and stuff like that. So I went into metalcore. And then me and my brother, Dave, like we're, it was a three piece, like me and my two brothers, which I first started playing music with, and like, we were kind of like nerds, I guess. So we were just trying to write the most like confusing breakdowns we could. And, yeah, that was like my first couple like local shows was like with that. And, it just like progressed. And then like, I hadn't really heard 80s metal or, you know, early thrash and all that until I want to say I was like 18 or 17, or I didn't really know about, you know, new wave of British heavy metal and everything. And so all that was like brand new to me, like tracing back all the roots all the way back to Sabbath and everything. So then I was like, yeah, that was the first time I'd heard those like classic albums. So I'm like stuck listening to like just like really, really old stuff because that's what's brand new to me, you know? So,
okay.
Yeah. All
right. So definitely. That's like what like you're it. In right now. You're listening to old school stuff.
Yeah. That's like, cool. I really like, yeah, new wave of British heavy metal is like my favorite, and then or it's, you know, in the constant rotation, and then a lot of the Texas bands also, and then those two newer bands, Eternal Champion and like Summerlands is like the newer one out of the two of them, but yeah, they're just like American like heavy metal, just kind of like retro vibe. And
so are we talking when we're saying like new wave, like what kind of bands are you referring to?
Wave, I guess for British heavy metal would be like yeah, we're just a lot of Priest and Maiden, just like that era and stuff like that. Just the stuff that like Metallica was listening to pretty much, like that whole category. And yeah, just a lot of dual harmonies and just stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's super awesome. There are a ton of good riffs in that stuff, dude. It's like just, which you got, I mean, when I listen to bands like yours, I'm like, there is a clear that type of vibe going on. Uh-huh. Like those kind of riffs exist in your guys's, it's like carried on in your guys's music.
Yeah, there's like one of the last tracks, or the last track on the album, Eternal Steel, is just like kind of my version of IM's doing Painkiller, or just I just hope it didn't come off too obvious that way, but just like the drum beat and stuff like that. Okay. You know, kind of like the structure and stuff too, but yeah, just like kind of paying tribute to that with Andrew doing vocals, so just doesn't come off that way, really.
Dude, totally. That's the thing. Anytime that we write something that I'm like, dude, everyone's going to know that this is us biting this thing. It's like, no one can. You are the only one who hears that.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the, like, our title track for the last record, or the second one, Hard to Kill, is, like, the end of it I kind of wrote as a joke, just playing with structure. And I was like, oh, people are going to definitely be able to tell it's, like, a Cro-Mags rip, or like, and I just kind of showed the guys, and you know, I don't think fans are really listening, or you know, average listeners are like zooming out that far to, you know, notice the song structure.
They never even heard Cro-Mags.
Yeah, so it was like I was like kind of freaking out about it, but everyone liked it, and we're like, okay, yeah, let's use it. But I don't know, I just want to be unique and stuff, but you know, I think song structure tricks or whatever you want to call it, it's like that's not really something everyone's going to notice, or
not at all. And yeah, the thing about a good song structure is that when it's really good, you don't even notice that it's a structured song. You know what I mean?
It just feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It like, it doesn't, it's not apparent to other people that you've done this thing that's like a math equation or whatever.
Yeah. And that's something I'm having a lot of fun with, because like when we first started, like the earlier stuff we were playing earlier, and then the first album was just like that song structure of like, you know, when you're young, you're just like writing, oh, what would be cool next? And like, that's as far as you're thinking, just what hits hard in the very next second, instead of like what, you know, zooming out, what sounds good as a whole and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, I kind of get nerdy about all that stuff, but it's fun.
Dude, it's awesome.
A good thing to get nerdy about.
Yeah.
That's been my favorite part of writing music lately, is how focused we are on song structures. Like we have obviously cared in the past about song structures, but we also have like this prog element to our band. So we like allowed ourselves to go in weird prog directions, but now we're like, let's write songs. Like, let's look at these songs as individual entities and just write a good fucking song.
Yeah.
And it's been one of my favorite things to do because people underestimate how hard it is to actually to write a song that's like cohesive and goes well together.
And yeah. not boring.
And not boring.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, everyone, metal people, not everyone, but metal people like to be like, oh, pop music would be so easy to write. It's like, dude, I know it is. I know it seems easy, but it's very hard to make a song flow together really well, like what they're doing, and yeah. come up with a melody that hooks you, catchy vocal yeah. patterns, catchy solo, make sure that stuff is stuck in people's heads.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really fun to like try to do that.
Oh, definitely. I think, yeah, just growing up around like listening to Power Trip and stuff like that, that's one of the things I noticed they do insanely well is just, it's like thrash and like hardcore just in like a pop song structure that just, yeah, I mean, all those elements are there for like a hook, like simplicity done well, like, you know, tastefully, and just like, you know, taking those little tidbits of like, you know, how can we do things better? Just, yeah, it's definitely, that's something they do well is just writing, you know, those hooks and just memorable riffs, yeah. like super, like not overdoing it or not trying to be too reinventing the wheel type of thing. Just yeah. like, you know, just kind of, yeah, sticking to like bare bones and just doing what they do well.
Yeah. And then, so to be able to do that, I feel like, and then another layer on top of that, be original within that.
Yeah.
That is like a total art in my
yeah.
view.
Having a certain like brand of like riffing or whatever you
yeah.
do. Like,
and then it's yeah, not boring, it's but it's, yeah, it's just like all these cool elements at play. And it's yeah. like, I don't know, it's just really fun. I love it.
Absolutely.
So
rather than just being like, I'm just going to stream of consciousness like riffs, which is also really sick. I don't have anything like no problem with that. It's just like a new challenge, you know?
To yeah. Get like more specific with yeah. the stuff you're using for songs. Like I'll sit down, just voice memo, just 5 minutes of riffing and just, you know, take the one part that was good and like, or I mean, there might be usable parts, but like the one key part and then do something with that, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like using everything that comes to mind at first.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I didn't really like lock into that until I like worked with Whitechapel on an album uh-huh. and like played drums and they were like talking about that kind of stuff. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Like yeah. care about the song in general, not well, just like, I'm going to come in here and fucking jazz hands all over the whole record. You know what I mean?
One thing that I thought was interesting that he took from the Whitechapel thing was that they tracked Phil's vocals first. So
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, so oh. you know, Phil's vocals are a super prominent part of that band. So it's interesting that they chose to do that and then go around with the instrumentals and write everything around those vocals.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like they had like the demos and stuff, but they it would be like if I did like a Phil or something, you know, like Mark recorded it and he'd be like, "That's a pretty cool Phil. Let me like let me pull up the vocals and make sure it works with the vocals." And like sometimes it would and sometimes it wouldn't.
So they like had the songs demoed first and then
they had like that? Everything was done okay. and I did the drums last.
Okay.
And so
wow.
anything I did, they could check it out up against everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
And so maybe I had some cool idea for like, you know, I call it jazz hands. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty cool, but it doesn't sound good with the rest. And I feel like with us like doing it the other way, I would like be so busy on drums and then like we would do the vocals and it's kind of like a lot of the space is eaten up, you know?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
It was just like a total learning experience for me.
Oh, definitely.
And like I came back and I was like, Chaney, dude, we gotta like pay attention to the vocals and like, you know what I mean? Just
yeah.
like totally obvious stuff that everybody knows, but I feel like in metal you kind of do go backwards in a way. You know, like when you first get into it, you're like, I'm gonna make the craziest metal of all time, and then
yeah.
you kind of go from there, like, all right, maybe I should dial it into like a vibe.
Yeah, like it's cool to go hard on certain parts, but
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you save it for those parts and like
exactly. Yeah. And it's like it's a tool. It's we have that there when we need it,
right?
And yeah, and I think it's just so fun. I just love it all.
Are you guys the type of band who can write when you're on tour?
We're actually kind of doing a little bit of that. Like before we left for tour, like Chris and or the whole, you know, everybody came up and you were just like tossing around like riffs and like yeah, just chatting about which ones we like and stuff like that. So and I think the main challenge with like writing collaboratively over the years is just like we all don't live that close to each other, so it's yeah, that time constraint of like we gotta hammer out a song like in these 2 days. It's
yeah, kinda, yeah,
you know, so like we're using this time that we're hanging out on the road for however long And especially having like a six man with us, like that helps a lot because we get to like hang out and, you know, riff and talk about music and stuff like that. So we're, yeah, we're going to be trying to like do some stuff on the road, especially off days and stuff. But we haven't really before, but this will, yeah, this will probably be the first time we're trying to ride on the road.
That's freaking awesome.
That's super sick. So are you guys selling your own merch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, dude, that's the one, that was the final one that I'm like, yes, because I was the one who sold our merch.
Yeah.
And when I could let go of that, I was like, all right, being on tour is fun now.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, it is fun to sell merch, don't get me wrong. And now I still hang out at merch like all night, but it, when the band is like eaten up by all, I don't know that people who are fans know how much work it takes to be a band on tour.
Yeah.
And when you're selling your own merch and, you know, you don't have a sixth man with you, it's like the band is the crew as well.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of shit to do.
Yeah. Like this last tour we did with Suicide Silence was crazy because we did, I don't know, like 23 shows in a row with breaks. And we did all the driving and all the merch and, you know, like loading and whatnot, and still had to make energy to play and like,
yeah, right,
give a good show and everything. So that was tough. So this is a lot better. You just, even having help with driving, like that's huge, yeah, for us, because we hadn't really balled out on expenses for like bringing another guy until now. But yeah, it already feels way better. I can only imagine, yeah, when we're not having to do any merch.
Well, we took Harrison on a tour last year and he drove for us, so we had crew and a driver, and that was like, I've never felt more bougie on fucking tour in my life.
It was Europe, you know? Yeah, but here. Our own,
yeah, it was like being
Europe
in Europe, but sick. Here. Yeah. It was, and we do the Planet Fitness thing, you know? Yeah. So having someone to drive us to, we were at a Planet Fitness every morning when we woke up. So that's that sick. Was like, instead of having one of the band members stay up all night, which, dude, that's so taxing on your overall performance and your energy all day.
Yeah, definitely.
Staying up all night and driving, it's crazy.
Yeah, just like feeling completely shot, just, and getting, you know, I don't think anyone likes that feeling of just being completely dead and like, okay, we got to go crush it right now,
yeah.
That sort of thing. But this one's nicer. We feel a little bougie, but we're not
yeah.
going crazy with it yet.
Yeah,
one
I mean,
day,
ultimate,
one day we will.
Yeah. Ultimately, I don't mind driving that much. So, I mean, we wound up having Harrison do other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We went without a driver on the next tour. And it's, yeah,
it's kind of the same to me.
Yeah, it's not so bad if you have people to do other stuff, or, you know, if someone's good at driving. But, dude, it's, I mean,
just someone there to help is fucking huge.
Oh, yeah.
Just do stuff.
Definitely.
Just do stuff. Load in, fucking help with the lights.
Like. Especially those changeovers when, even since we do the merch, like where we need to go on stage or like go warm up and then, you know, tear down our stuff real quick before we head back to the merch table. Like, that's even huge, too, because that's like right after our set.
Right.
Perfect time for people to come like say what's up. So
yeah,
having help is insane.
Yeah. Channing would just have to literally like dart straight to merch. Like, you know, I'm sure you guys know.
There are so many pictures out there of me with just like makeup running and the sweatiest, most fucked up hair of all
and
time.
Like, can I take a picture with you?
One, yeah. Yes. And I'm never going to turn anyone down.
Right.
Like, no, just wait until I like look good again, you know? So. But that's what being in a band is, you know, that's the price you have to pay to do the thing that you love, which is actually completely incredible. I'm sure your dad's like amazed by what you're doing.
He's stoked. He did some like big tours a couple of times, but yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, he's very proud.
Was it with Country X?
Yeah, there was this guy Sundance who won The Voice in 2016.
Oh, damn.
And he did like a couple weeks out with Blake Shelton in
arena. That's
okay. All right.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. That's awesome.
Do you guys like country music?
I do.
I love
it's
country.
It's like what
music.
I grew up on, so.
Me too, man. I love it. I'm from Iowa, but you know, it's Midwest. We want to be southern. And like, what are you guys, southwestern? Is that Texas or are you southern?
I think we're just southern.
Okay. Well, we kind of want to be southern in Iowa, you know? So
yeah,
it's like country music. I grew up on that shit. I love it.
Yeah,
90s
Andrew's
country.
All country. Just like, yeah, that's pretty much the majority of what he plays in the band for sure is country stuff.
Yeah.
He's like a Harley dude too. So, you know.
I love it, dude.
He's
living the lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
Exactly.
That makes me way more happy. I feel like with that guy, if you're like, yeah, he hates country and drives a Prius, I'd be like, don't know about this. I don't know. I'm not buying it now.
Yeah, yeah,
right. I wouldn't be able to look at him the same tonight when he's screaming about Texas.
Yeah, right. He's got to live the lifestyle, dude.
He for sure lives it. Like, just built some, or he bought some property, like, way out, about like an hour from, hour and a half from Dallas, and just built from scratch, like a shed, like a tool shed and all that, and a structure around his camper, and like, built it all himself for him and his wife. And yeah, he's definitely a,
I love this guy.
He's a, yeah, he's a handy guy. Handy Andy for sure.
That's awesome.
That's hella awesome. Is he the oldest dude in your guys' band?
Yes. Yeah.
That's cool.
30, freaking, I believe. Yeah.
30. Wow. He's really getting up there.
Yeah.
That's an old man. Yeah. How old are you guys?
26.
29.
That's cool. Okay. Young and doing the damn thing. That's so awesome.
I love it.
I used to be the youngest, and then Jaden took my spot. Like 21.
Yeah, 21. I can't even imagine, honestly, being a 21-year-old and just kind of, like, going out and doing it right away. You know what I mean? Just, like, I don't know. What is his history?
He's just, like, an insane guitar player. Mm-hmm. Like, we had, or Brandon sent me a clip of Jaden. He just, like, by ear, learned all of the Iron Gate. That's one of the singles we put out for the album, and played my solo like better than me and stuff. And I was just, you know, he's like, yeah, this guy's going to be in the band one day.
Like 2 days after we released that.
Yeah. It's not like he took a lot of time. I mean, I'm sure he took time with it, but it's like, it was super quick and super accurate, like almost 100% exactly how it was played on the record and stuff. And then, he's just like an insane guitar player, and we took him out to do merch for one of our shorter headliners. And, I think that was his first tour. And then shortly after that, like his first tour on stage with us was Thyroid is Murdered, Kublai Khan, On Death, us, and Justice for the Damned. So it was just like, you know, like all theaters. And like,
that's so sick.
That was his like first full tour. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was just crushing it. So it's...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we kind of threw him in there. But he got like experience. Like he knows what he's doing and everything. And he's like super willing to like learn and all that and help like everything. So he's a great team player.
That's awesome, man. That's what it's all about with a band.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to find the people. I know we were kind of talking about this earlier, but keeping a band together with all the things we're talking about, you know, you have to, like, work really hard, drive overnight. And keeping a band together is one of the hardest things to do.
Definitely.
So finding sick people who you can rely on and who are way into it and stoked and happy about it all the time is, like, the best possible way to spend life on the road, because it is hard. Whether or not we're like living out our dreams, we are. That's cool. I wouldn't want to do anything other than what I do, but it's a hard lifestyle to choose.
Yeah. Like sacrificing all the comfort and like, just spending time with your family or what, you know, whatever you want to do at home. Or that stability just kind of taken away for a bit. But yeah. It's definitely difficult. That's why I love like the lineup we have now. It's just makes it so much easier when like everybody's stoked, and especially having a young guy that's always stoked about everything. It's super sick.
We're going to get an 18-year-old in our band. We're going as young as possible. We'll get a high schooler, man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So you guys are on this tour. Is it like a full US run?
Yeah. US Hell and Canada.
Love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Right. We were talking earlier. You're going to Canada. And
yeah. It'll be fun.
Gotta hit up that A&W Beyond Burger.
Oh, yeah, that was a nightly thing for sure. We just hit some Canada dates on that Suicide Silence tour, and, I was crushing those like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the one with Peeling Flesh?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're sick as fuck.
Love those guys.
Damn, I wish we could have seen that. That's awesome.
I think it went to Atlanta, maybe?
Definitely. Every tour goes to Atlanta, right?
I don't know. I
remember seeing the flyer, and I was like, damn, we should go, but we didn't.
Was it Memphis?
Yeah.
Okay. Memphis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Like a game shop or something.
Oh, fuck, that would have been hella sick.
Wait, was it kind of like a small venue and there was a little area on the side for games?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like an arcade sort of thing?
Yeah.
Maybe. Black I remember Wallet. Pinball specifically at the spot, but it was really small. Like the backstage was almost as big as the main area.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it was pretty tight.
I bet that was super packed out and crazy.
Yeah, and their set went like crazy. Like Soda was doing all these shout outs for like rappers are from that area, and just like, you know, just
hyping.
It was chaos when they were playing.
We fucked up. We should have went to that.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
We played that same venue like maybe 5 or 6 years ago with Whitechapel, and it was like
maniacal.
It was Whitechapel and Carnifex and Rings of Saturn and us, and it was like off the chain. But it was so fucking hot in that place because the stage is like as big as this table from what I remember, right? And like up off the ground.
Redone it. I mean, it wasn't too, I mean, it was a very narrow stage, but it wasn't like we'd played, you know, more uncomfortable stages for sure. But
of course, there's always a more uncomfortable stage.
Yeah,
dude.
Definitely. There's one in Florida I'm thinking of right now, but that was a cool spot. I enjoyed it, and
it had to be the same spot.
I think so. I mean, if it's an arcade thing in Memphis, it's for sure the same spot. I would say.
So, are your guys' favorite shows always in Texas?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, last time we played Dallas was not on tour was this Texas Death Fest that we do.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Was who was on it?
It was us, Tribal Gaze, Ballista.
Was it Frozen Soul?
No, that's Frozen Soul does that Wrecking Ball one. And we played that the first time they did it, and that fest is sick. But yeah, like Texas Death Fest is just like we're putting on for like local homies and just, you know, what's going on in
Your guys' festival.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's sick.
So we just like scout out like the bands that we, you know, enjoy listening to, or I'll go to a lot of shows and, you know, I mean, there's like so many good bands
that's
in
a
Dallas.
Good idea, man.
Just even we haven't really expanded it past Dallas except for Life Cycles from San Antonio.
Yeah,
we saw them last time.
Chris Sanchez, that's dude. That's our boy. Yeah. And their new EP is really fucking sick.
Oh, yeah. It rips. They crushed it.
It sounds amazing, too. Like, yeah. The fucking production quality is really good.
Yeah. My buddy Jason tracked it, or I recorded and produced, and then I sent it off to Zeus. And then.
Okay.
Yeah. Zeus mixed that.
Yeah, I was wondering who did it because I was like, damn, this fucking sounds sick.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sanchez to me is honestly like one of the best bass players that there is.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's insane.
We like played with Life Cycles since, I want to say, 2017, 2018 or something. And just like, seeing that dude do his thing and just still, you know, spinning the guitar around and all that. Or he would do that.
Yeah, he rips, dude.
Yeah,
insane.
That whole band is insanely talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime, like, I'll see, you know, live videos that Chris posts in his stories, and I was watching a bunch of their live videos. They just seem like such a sick live band. Like, people go off for them.
We almost, I mean, I'm not going to say that. I know we love playing with them, but it's like, when they play before us, we're like, damn. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've been through that with certain bands. We didn't play before them, but Spite played right after us, and we were like, need to play the show.
We suck.
Yeah.
That was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We were like, this band's so hype live. Like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, we get that feeling every time I see Life Cycles play. It's just, they're tight as hell. And
they're great.
Yeah. They're also a lot of fun to watch, and they're the sickest hang, too. Like,
no set list either. They just call songs out.
God,
dude,
man,
I love that.
That's
love
like
that.
What I wish that we could do, but I'm like, it'll never happen. Yeah, we're a little too tech and nerdy.
Like, where are the lights, dude?
Yeah. You know, we have stuff MIDI programmed to
freak it so like I could hit different songs.
Yeah, we never will. But you know, that's like the dude,
that
you go up
though.
And you call out, so every set they do is different.
The last, I don't know, 10 Life Cycle set I've seen, just
that's
they
awesome.
Gather around.
That's
after
so
the,
sick.
They're like very much on the same page about like everything. Like they're all from the same city, and they jam a bunch. You know, that's
San Antonio, right?
Yeah, I'm jealous of like living super close to each other to like have that flexibility to like
that's
meet
so
up that
cool.
often. But yeah, they can read each other on stage real easily, and they always crush it. Like you wouldn't expect that it's just called out or anything like that.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's, I mean.
So sick.
So what gave you guys the idea to do the festival?
We were just kind of, we hadn't played Dallas in like, that wasn't on it. We haven't played like a Dallas date that wasn't on tour. And we're just like, we miss doing more like local side of things and just being more involved in like our own home scene and stuff. And so, we just wanted to organize it ourselves and just do that. And we wanted to, put on for, like, our friends, the bands that we like from our area. And
that's so fucking cool.
And, the first one went over really well, and it was, like, sold out and everything. And it was, like, the first show that I had personally booked, so it was a lot of fun. And we're just, like, planning for the next one and everything, try to keep it going.
Have you announced the next one yet, or?
Not yet.
Do you know when it's going to be, though?
We're looking at a couple, or two dates, but, we haven't, like, locked it down yet, but we've got like lineups and stuff like that, or lineup in the works and everything. So
that's so sick. Well, when we start our own festival in Nashville, it's directly because of this conversation.
No, I'm literally
the wheels are spinning right now.
We have to do that.
I mean, you know, we moved to Nashville like 2.5 years ago, but since we moved here, I feel way more connected to the Nashville scene than I ever did to the Santa Cruz scene. And I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, and I was like a part of the scene there. Like that's where I grew up. That was like my thing, you know. And here the scene is starting to come alive. I feel there's a band called Infuri that's from here. Fallujah now lives here. We live here. So it's like, I think it would be so cool. And that's a great idea to like lift up the community. You know, we're doing this thing now, like the people who shoot our promos, and we're having a person do our music videos who live in Nashville
and in Tennessee.
Yeah. So dude, it's trying to keep it local. And we come from like our respective scenes. Like we grew up in that shit. So being able to be in a position where you can put something together, like a sick festival where it's going to sell out and a bunch of local people are going to come and hang and find out about all these sick bands. That's just really inspiring.
It's definitely sick. Like I just love going to local shows in Dallas. Like there's so many of my friends are in amazing bands, and it's just like, why wouldn't we just put on a show? And just,
that's a genius idea. Yeah. I'm like, my mind is like blown right now. Like, of course. So obvious.
Yeah, shout out Ozone and, you know, Visions, the Mortality, and all the it's homies.
Fucking sick, man.
So that's my beloved.
What venue is it at?
Last year was at Andy's in Denton, and this year we're going to do it at Tulips in Fort Worth. I think it's, like, maybe owned by the same dude, but because I contacted the same guy for it. But it's just a really cool spot in Fort Worth, and I feel like Fort Worth particularly is where a lot of the good hardcore is, or, like, where a lot of the hype is and stuff in Dallas, and just stuff popping off. Like it's a good spot.
So sick.
Whatever happened to that? Was it called Tomcats in Fort Worth?
Yeah.
The place with the bouncy stage? Do you remember that?
Oh, Tomcats. Yeah, that was my second show I ever played at Tomcats.
People
I was
were
like 14
smoking
or
up in there.
Yeah,
was, dude. Just smoking.
Secondhand
twigs.
Smoke. Yeah. That was dope. But yeah, I don't know if it's still up.
Shows don't seem to really go there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember that James, that sound dude there, was insane. That venue always sounded the best. But yeah, I don't think stuff's happened there for a while.
We played there a few times.
Yeah, we did. And I just remember, like, on that stage, it was like you could jump up and down, and there'd be like, it was like a trampoline type thing.
Have a little give too.
Yeah, a little give. You know, you could get higher.
And it was like pieced together with like plywood and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like,
oh yeah.
It was legit.
And then there's that other spot in Fort Worth. It's kind of a bigger place. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Ridgely Theater?
No, it's a place we just played with Archspire. I can't remember, but it's crazy to me. Like Fort Worth seems to have a bunch of venues as well as Dallas.
Yeah, there's definitely like two scenes going on, but it's like everybody, especially nowadays, everyone like rocks with everything. Yeah, there's like, I feel like Fort Worth has been where a lot of the shows have been going down.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's between like, you know, the Metroplex of like Dallas, Fort Worth, and like there's a lot of cool spots to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't played Trees in years and years.
Playing Trees for the first time on this tour, which is cool because I'd always gone to shows there and all that. But yeah, that's the first.
We got to play there with Dillinger on their last tour. I don't know if you guys are Dillinger fans, but I'm a fucking Dillinger fan. And that was crazy at Trees. Just, but the only bad thing about Trees is that there's like a pole on the stage.
The tree.
Yeah. Or is it on the stage, the tree?
No, it's like in the crowd.
Yeah, it's in the crowd. That's it.
Yeah, it kind of makes it a little difficult, but yeah, it's still a pretty cool spot.
Yeah, that's sick. All right, so, well, it's 5:15, so we've kind of got to get out of here, but say again the name of your festival so that everyone can, it's Texas.
Texas Death Fest.
Hell yeah, everyone go and check that out. Check out Life Cycles. I know, we're going to fly out for your festival. Can we get guest list for your festival?
Yeah, we got you.
Hell yeah, so everyone check out all of the bands that we've talked about this whole time, and also check out, like, all of the bands coming out of Texas, because
And we there's fucking appreciate water down there. You guys coming over, man. I know it's like hard to get out of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, dude, fuck yeah.
It's been awesome. Yeah, go check out I Am on this tour with Darkest Hour, you guys. Tour dates will post.
Fuck yeah, man.
And you have a good week.
I'm looking forward to the show, too, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
stoked.
Fun.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
All right, you guys, we'll see you next week.
Love y'all.
Also, Thursday, new Entheos Copper Crab Happy Hour.
That's right.
That's gonna be on Twitch. We'll see you guys there.
7:30 Central Standard Time.